October 10th, about 3:45 a.m. This is Detective Theobald with Andrew Hillcrest and Duesenberg. Oxnard Fire. All right. How about a date of birth? Perfect. And a phone number to get a hold of you at?
Cell phone area code 720.
All right, 720.
Denver.
Some reason firemen can't live where they work.
Yeah. No, I don't live in Denver. I used to live in Denver.
All right.
I moved out here. My mom still has an old house phone, so that way she can call me local.
Oh, no kidding.
It doesn't charge her anything extra. So.
Yeah, you can never hear about long distance charges anymore, right?
Yeah, right. Dang. Don't call my mom that.
Yeah. All right. So, okay, we're here on Hillcrest, Duesenberg, looks like. There's a crime scene behind us.
Okay.
What was your involvement?
So I responded on the medic rescue engine 31.
Okay.
And I am working on my paramedic upgrade for Ventura County.
Okay. Is that like a lateral transfer?
No, I have a paramedic license with the state, but I need to get approved in Ventura County.
Okay.
And in order to do that, I have to run with a paramedic preceptor, and the fireman on engine 31 is a paramedic preceptor, so he's precepting me. Basically looking over my shoulder and watching what I'm doing.
Okay. All right. So you are riding with Ventura County?
Yeah, I'm additional staffing.
Got it. Makes sense. Now I'm understanding a little bit better.
Yeah.
Okay. So, you responded on engine 31. When did you get here?
I don't know the exact time. When we were dispatched.
How about in order? Who got here?
So, there were at least one sheriff's vehicle here before we were here. I don't have too much preface on that. The seat that I sit in, I was sitting in this back seat right here, which actually faces backwards. So
okay.
I didn't see a ton of what was going on as we pulled up because I was sitting reverse.
And rear facing scene.
I know that they, when we pulled up to the stoplight there, they said, let's follow those guys. And I assume that they meant the sheriffs because when I stepped out of the vehicle, there was one of the sheriff vehicles in front of us.
Okay. So, was just one vehicle?
One that I noticed.
One. Soon prior.
And then as far as arrival, engine 31 showed up, rescue 31 showed up after that, and then AMR 441 showed up last. As far as the fire response.
Okay, so say that again. Engine 31 showed up
first. Yep.
31.
Rescue 31, this pickup truck, was behind us.
And they just jumped in front of you?
Yeah, we moved around a little bit while we were here. So,
okay.
And then the AMR unit came in. 441 is their unit number. Came in after us.
Okay. So after you got here, you dismounted or got out of your seat.
Yeah. So
then,
so we pulled up and really we pulled up a lot closer to where we than where we are now.
Okay.
I want to say that the very front of the engine was kind of in line with the fire hydrant that's down there.
This first one I'm looking at?
Yep, one right there. And the engineer did a good job. He kind of pointed the engine at what we saw was the vehicle accident off to the left here,
mm-hmm.
just to kind of get all the lights on it so that we could see what was going on.
Okay.
The other fireman that is in the back, he rides forward. So he said something weird, and I'm trying to recall what he said, but I think he said, like, we have a cutter, or he's cutting, or something like that. And I said, what? And he goes, he's cutting himself. And I said, what is it? I didn't understand. It didn't make any sense to me.
You know his name?
His name is Chris. He's the paramedic.
He's one year.
He's my preceptor right now.
Preceptor. He's cutting, and then what else?
And I questioned it because I didn't quite understand what he meant. Like, it just didn't click what was going on.
And then what did he follow up with?
He's cutting himself, I think is what he said.
Okay, so when you got out to that point,
yep.
Now you have, do you have visual at that point?
So as soon as the air brakes were set on the engine, I climbed out. I looked just to get a reference point to kind of build the scene in my head of what was going on. I looked to the left. I saw someone standing up on the what appeared to be the driver's side of a pickup truck off to the side of the road. And then at that point, I made my way to the tailboard or the back of the engine, which is where all the medical equipment is held.
Okay.
It's my job to grab all that and take it to the scene.
Sure. So is the person you saw the associated with the vehicle, I assume, is...
He was standing next to it. I don't know if he was...
You saw a male. You're saying he, so it's a male, like...
You know what, I couldn't even describe him like that. Like I said, I climbed out, I just got the reference of the scene that we had, and I went directly back. At that point, I couldn't tell if it was male or female.
Okay.
Like, it was just a person standing there.
Saw a person. Thanks for the light.
Yeah, of course.
Retrieve medical gear. Okay, so you're at the back, you have your medical gear.
Yep, so we pull three bags. So I was pulling all three bags and grabbing those. As I kind of got those on my shoulders and stuff, Firefighter Martin had gotten out of the vehicle and said, we're backing up.
Okay.
I kind of questioned him because I thought we were on scene. And he said the officers had drawn their guns and we were backing up. So we backed up the engine to its current location. As soon as we got the engine to this location, we heard the gunfire, and for lack of a better term, we took shelter behind the engine.
Okay, but how long were you here for?
We backed up, and I feel like as soon as the engine stopped, that's when the gunfire started.
Okay.
So as long as it would take to back up the 100 feet, that it that is backed up from it.
Okay.
Where it was.
So the engine turned off from the engine?
The engine was still running at that point.
Okay, but you could hear pretty clearly?
Yeah, okay. For sure. There was no question what it was.
Okay, did you hear a number of shots?
I couldn't give you a specific number of shots. I can tell you that there was two different pitch shots, which I thought was something that I hadn't heard before in that kind of scenario. Does that make sense?
Mm-hmm. Okay. And then how about, did you hear anything being said?
No. No, I did not.
Did you have any visual at that point?
No, at that point, as we were backing up, I was trying to back up the engine and the ambulance because, you know, all three of these apparatus were up fairly close, and so we were trying to back all three of them at the same time, so I was preoccupied with that.
Okay.
Until we heard the shots, and at that point I was standing facing Duesenberg,
okay,
and directly behind the engine.
Shots.
Mm-hmm.
You're at the rear of the engine from where it's parked right now, facing Duesenberg. Nothing seen, and unable to determine number of shots. But yep. You do hear two different sounds from the guns.
Yes.
Okay. And then, what'd you do next?
So at that point, the engine was here. The rescue had actually pulled in alongside of us, up along the curb here.
Okay.
And I was able to make eye contact with the passenger in the truck. And he said they shot him, and that's when we kind of poked our head around the corner.
The passenger and the rescue truck?
Rescue 31.
Do you know his name?
His first name is Rob. I think his last name
better, huh? Sounds a little more likely.
I think so.
Okay. So, did he say anything else?
That was all he said at that point.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right, and then you're still behind the...
Still behind the engine.
Okay.
Yep, and that's where we stayed. I had all the medical gear on the tailboard. We had eye contact with Rob in the rescue that was on this side, and the ambulance was on the other side from us, and I had contact with the driver, and I don't know his name, but I had contact with him too, and we were basically coming up with a game plan on what we were going to do.
Okay, and what was that game plan?
Basically, we started talking about trauma policies and what we were looking at, and, you know.
Okay, so as far as response treatment to the
shooting. A gunshot victim.
Okay.
Right? I am in training, so it's always good for me to review the policies and procedures that we do with any of these calls.
Sure. So. All right. So you discussed the response, and then what?
And then we just waited. We knew that we weren't going to approach the scene until we were cleared by sheriffs.
Okay. How long did you wait?
So when I did the report, I just did my written report. I turned the monitor on at 1:26.
Okay.
So that was my response time to there. I don't know how long we waited before that. I'd say I'd estimated in my report like 8 to 10 minutes.
From the time you heard the shots till the time you responded?
From the time we heard the shots to the time I touched the patient.
Okay. And that's based on the your recording and then...
No, that's based on the on-scene time that we get with the MDC,
uh-huh.
And then the time that I turned on the monitor.
Okay.
Which gives me a time stamp.
Estimated time of... So the time of arrival, basically?
Yep.
To time of treatment?
To, no, because we had started treating him before. It's when I turned on the actual cardiac monitor.
And what about how much sooner than that would you estimate that you started treating him?
So my 8 to 10 minutes, I think that we got to him 8 minutes after the gunshot, and then 10 minutes was when I turned on the monitor.
Okay.
Does that make sense?
Yep. Start treatment. Turn on monitor.
Yep.
Okay, and can you talk about the treatment you provided?
So the first thing we did was start taking the clothes off to assess his injuries.
Okay.
He was laying on his right side, more face down, with handcuffs behind his back. I started cutting off the sweatshirt and t-shirt that he was wearing. And we requested that they take the handcuffs off so that we could assess him better.
So you cut his clothing?
Yes.
DP. Laying on his right side. Okay. Ass. And were the handcuffs removed?
The handcuffs were removed, yes. Actually, I think a second set of handcuffs was requested before they removed them. Because he wanted to handcuff him to the backboard when we put him on the backboard.
Okay. Did that actually occur? You ended up being handcuffed to the backboard?
No, I don't think so. I think they removed him. He had cuffs on both wrists. They never got clipped into the backboard.
Okay. Okay, so clothes are removed, handcuffs are removed, and then what kind of injuries do you see?
So I basically we kind of rolled him over onto his right side. I cut it off, and I assessed his chest.
Okay.
I counted 6 holes, so 6 gunshot wounds.
Okay. So you said you assessed his chest?
Yep.
Six gunshot wounds?
Yes. And that is to, like, his chest, his upper torso and his upper extremities from the front. And then in the back, somebody else was looking in the back, and they counted up 3. So total of 9 was the count that we got for the upper extremities.
three over there. Okay, so...
Yep, and then somebody else was doing the legs, and they called out three as well.
Okay.
Does that make sense?
Yep.
It was my job to assess for any major bleeding. He didn't have any major bleeding from any of the gunshot wounds that we found. So we put him on our cardiac monitor. His heart rate, well, his electrical heart rate told us 30 beats a minute.
Okay.
He did not have a pulse to match that. We call it PEA, pulseless electrical activity of the heart.
Okay.
So basically his heart's not beating mechanically, but it's getting the electrical signal to beat. But our policy says that it's less than 30, and we have more than a 20-minute transport from time of injury that we don't transport.
Okay.
Does that make sense?
It does make sense. So we found no major bleeding, hooked to, what's the machine called?
It's an EKG electrocardiogram monitor.
Showed 30 beats per minute?
Yes, of electrical activity. But that it didn't have any mechanical capture, meaning that the heart wasn't actually beating.
What'd you call electric? 30 beats per minute of electrical?
We call it PEA, pulseless electrical activity.
Showed no pulse to match.
Yep.
So, okay, got no pulse to match the 30 beats, and policy says you don't transport if it's 30 or less.
If it's 30 or less with a greater than 20-minute transport time from time of injury to hospital, yeah, we do not transport.
And was that what the determination was? There's no, not transported?
So one of the conversations that we had when we were at the tail board was how far I don't live around here. I don't know how far we are to the hospital. So I talked with Dr. Martin, and he told us that we were about 12 or 15 minutes to the hospital.
Okay.
So between that and the time that we waited to approach the scene, we were over that 20-minute window. Does that make sense?
Okay, so we're talking about the total.
Yep.
Total
from time of injury to destination of the hospital, 20 minutes.
Got it. The decision was made not to transport.
Yes.
Okay. Who made that decision?
Who actually determined? so the one person that determined death was Brian, the AMR paramedic. He's the official determination of death. However, it was a conversation amongst us. PEA less than 30, how long to the hospital? Okay. Policy says that we don't transport.
So it was discussed amongst all you treating him?
Yeah.
Okay. Okay. What else? Anything?
No. So at that point, we met at the back of the ambulance. We started cleaning our gear, and then I started the documentation process.
Okay. Cleaned up gear. I'm at the back of the ambulance.
Mm-hmm.
And then started your report.
And then I started my report. Just the electric patient care report.
Okay.
Not like the incident report.
What'd you call it, the electro?
It's an EPCR, so an electronic patient care report. Basically, we do them on patients to document the medical treatment that we've given them.
You're just waiting on scene?
Yeah, and then at that point we were told that we were going to have to wait and give a statement because we had a few guys in the crew that were eyewitnesses to everything that happened.
Okay.
And we've just been waiting.
Okay. That makes sense. So I just want to clarify and make sure you were unable to account for how many shots you heard.
No.
And you did not hear any exchange of words between officers and or?
I did not.
Did you hear anything that you couldn't make out, or did you just hear nothing being said at all?
I couldn't. So when both these pieces of equipment back up, they have a buzzer or a beeper that goes off as they back up. And so between backing up and trying to watch multiple rigs back up at the same time, just to make sure they didn't back up into anything, I did not hear anybody speaking, but when the gunshots started, that was definitely audible.
Okay. And did anyone else that you saw witnesses that was not involved on one of the medical responses or?
I did not see anybody. No.
Okay,
and
so there's
maybe
no...
Maybe I was a little tunnel vision on what I was trying to do, but yeah. I did not see anybody else.
Okay.
Nobody walking on the sidewalk. When I got out of the rig up there, I did glance through the parking lot to see if there was another vehicle that may have been involved in the accident, and I didn't see any vehicles that were involved or any people up there, so...
Okay. So the scene that you saw over here is limited to one vehicle?
That was the vehicle that I noted in my mind of where I was going to go with the EMS equipment.
Okay, and then your initial response, were you dispatched to a single vehicle collision, or what were you sent to?
Ours came out as a traffic collision. And then, what did they say on it? I think they said heard, not seen.
Okay.
Does that make sense?
Yeah, that's pretty common.
Somebody may have heard it in one of these apartments, or, and they called it in.
Yeah, that's a pretty common language that we hear too. So, heard, not seen. Anything else you can think of you want to add?
No.
Okay.
That was pretty much what I put in my EMS report. So.
Okay. The injuries that you saw on him, you counted between the group of you treating him, you mm-hmm. said 9.
That was the count I got.
12, I guess it was. 3 to the legs, 3 to the back.
Yep. So it was 6. It was 9 in the upper torso and upper extremities, and 3 in the legs is what was called out.
Okay. And were you able to assess whether they were entry-exit wounds, or were they?
No.
Okay.
No, I mean, I usually just count holes, and we try and figure that out later. So.
Got it.
And I don't try to figure that out, but trauma surgeons try to figure that out.
Sure. So. Okay. And were they all, they were puncture marks? All of them were holes?
Yes, all of them were what I have witnessed before, being a gunshot wound.
Thank you.
Yeah, thank you.
So the